And like I said, it's been labeled the prodigal son, but it's more apt to be named the prodigal father because of the extravagant love of the father for a son who would not let him go. Let's read it. It's in Luke chapter 15, if you're following along. And it begins with verse 11 in the New American Standard Version I am reading from. Jesus is teaching, not just those who are standing before him, but here, us today, where we sit, and for all generations. And he says this: a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me." "Dad, will you just let me go? I don't want to stay at home anymore. I want to go experience the world. I've heard so many things out there, and here I am slaving over here in your house. And I'm adding to this here a little bit just to give you the background of it. But the son was living with the father, and the father had given him everything, and he was bound to inherit everything eventually anyway. But he didn't want to wait. He wanted that wealth to come to him quickly so he could go and he could take it and he can go and experience other things than what he was already experiencing. He'd just not seen the other side. He was so complacent and used to what he already had. So he said, "Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me." So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, it's only a few days, he gets the money, he gets the estate. The younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country. Just when you get to your last penny, then a famine comes. And he began to be impoverished. He had never experienced that before. We're never impoverished when we stay in the Father's house. So he went and he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country. He needed something now. He needed money. Probably too ashamed to go back to Dad. He'd already asked Dad for everything he had and spent it all and squandered it all, and he was just afraid that Daddy didn't love him anymore or wouldn't help him when he cried out. So he went and he worked for a citizen. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. I don't think that's what he was doing back at home in Daddy's house. He would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating. And no one was giving anything to him. There were no more handouts. He wasn't going to inherit anything from the world. We don't inherit anything from the world. Nothing's going with us. But when he came to his senses, his spirit man must have just kicked in and remembered some of the things that he was taught when he was young. "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I'm out here dying with hunger. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to my father and we'll say to him, 'Father,'" he's recognizing now, right? "'I have sinned against heaven.'" And he recognized that he first sinned against what he knew to be true, because his father had probably taught him from a young age. "Your heavenly father is first and foremost before I even get into the picture. 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Wow. The enemy just came right on in, and because of a poor choice and because of the loose living and because he just went away and felt that he just squandered everything that the father had given to him, he immediately thinks that he's no longer a son and worthy to be called one. He says, "Now, make me as one of your hired men." In other words, hire me. "Let me work for your love. Let me work for what I can have again. I need to earn it now, God, because I squandered it. Now I gotta work for it." So he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, remember when Jesus saw Nathanael? "Hey, Nathanael, I saw you behind that tree. I saw you behind that tree, Nathaniel. And Nathaniel's going, wow, you must be God. Because he saw him behind a tree. How many things did Jesus do with multiplying the bread and all the miracles that he did? Nobody ever said that. But because Jesus had a peekaboo moment with Nathaniel, Nathaniel claims him as God. That tells me that Nathaniel had to be in the Spirit. Because just because Jesus, he could have said, well, you just guessed I was behind the tree. He got up and came to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. You know, no matter where you are, God still sees you. I don't care where you are on this planet. You can't go. Even Peter said, where am I going to go? Heaven, hell, and you know, east, west, north, south? There's nowhere that you're not there, God. Where else can I possibly go? I mean, you're it. You're my only hope. He was still a long way off. Father saw him, left. He felt compassion for him. Isn't this Jesus, Jesus, Jesus? And he ran and embraced him and kissed him. Who did the embracing and the kissing and ran? The Father did. He runs to us when he sees we're in repentance. He runs to us. When we're not in repentance, he still sees us. We're still his son. But he's looking at us in the pig pen going, why are you wallowing in that mud? He'll leave us there. With no repentance, he'll leave us in the mud. And the son said to him, Father, I have, again, now he's personally saying it to him, whereas in his heart, he was saying it before God. Now he's personally, once we've decided before God, we've sinned against someone and we've confessed it to God, sometimes it's very appropriate. In fact, most times it's all appropriate to go to the person whoever you offended or whatever and ask for their forgiveness. Repent. Change. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. You've heard it before. First it was to God, now it's to the Father himself. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Again, we heard that before, right? But the Father said to his slaves, notice that he probably looked away from the son, and he looks at all of his slaves, and the son wanted to be one of those slaves. He looks at his slaves, though. He says, quickly, bring out the best robe, put it on him. We all know that that robe is the robe of righteousness. He's repented. My righteousness, son, covers you. It always has and always will. Put it on him and put a ring. He's royalty. He's a son of the Most High God. He's my son. Put sandals on his feet. The boy didn't have any peace. He's been in a pig pen. He wants to become my slave. He needs to know my peace. Settle down, son. Relax. I'm still dad. Bring the fattened calf. Well, hey, I've been eating nothing but pig pods. Bring the fattened calf. Kill it and let us eat. Let us celebrate. This is the time for rejoicing, not a time to sit there and say you want to be a slave and you're not worthy to be called my son and you're just buying the enemy's jargon. I'm still dad. I've been waiting on you. I never changed. Probably not going to even have to do my sermon because I'm doing it as I'm going. I need to read this. For this son of mine, he was dead and now he's come to life again. Isn't that awesome? You know, dead in our trespasses and sins, but alive in Christ. Always a choice. Man has always had a choice. We can turn to sin and operate in it, or we can turn to God and live a righteous lifestyle. And it's our choice. He was lost, and notice this, and has been found. God searches, and he sees us at all times. He finds us where we are. And wherever we are, he's always got an open arm right there for us to say, anytime you're willing, I'm here. Come on the couch. Open your Bible. Come to prayer. Come to church. You repent. Do whatever you got. I'm right at all times. There's never a time I'm not available for that. In the middle of your busy day, in the middle of your busy daytimer, no matter where you are, no matter how you feel, no matter what the enemy said to you, no matter how condemned you may feel and stuff like that, I'm telling you, I'm right here and I'm ready to receive your repentance. Yeah. he's been found. And they began to celebrate. Now this older son, brothers, family, It's always family we have the hardest time with, right? The natural family. See, he was a natural son. The slaves and all that stuff, like, hey, fatted calf, hey, I can smell that barbecue right now. We had barbecue yesterday. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Christina, Christy and Juan, yeah. And Dalton. Thank you, Dalton, that's right. Threefold cord's hard to break. That was some good stuff. And I know those slaves, when they smelled this stuff, they probably said the same thing. But family, too close to home, we get complacent with family, right? Who do we treat the worst usually? Family. Family. We'll be nice as pie to a stranger, but then as soon as we get home, we're just walking all over our family. I don't know why that happens. We should be treating them with the best. His older son was in the field. When he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He's probably thinking, oh, wow, party. Let me join it. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. Gee, I wonder what's going on. And he said to him, your brother has come. Wow. Your father's killed the fattened calf because he's received him back safe and sound. Now, the brother knew he left, and he was just, I want the world, don't want any part of dad, don't want any part of brother. I'm leaving the family. I'm just making all these wrong choices. But you know what? The heck with y'all. That's the last thing the brother saw. And then the next thing he hears is the sound of dancing and partying and dad throwing a party for what's just been done. It doesn't make sense to him. He became angry. He wasn't willing to go in. I'm not going in there. I'm not celebrating with dad. And his father came out and began pleading with him. The father was saying to the other brother, pleading. He answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I've been serving you. I've never neglected a command of yours. Real legalistic, striving, doing everything daddy said. He said this, I'm doing that. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm doing, 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 working, 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 working. I've been serving you, never neglected a command, yet you've never given me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth, he's been with prostitutes. How dare you, he's probably saying. You killed the fatted calf for him. How could you lavishly pour so much grace and mercy and kindness and love and fatted calves and celebration on one who has squandered everything you gave him. The gifts. Even his gifts. He squandered all your gifts. And he said to him, son, you've always been with me. And all that's mine, it's already yours. And he said to him, son, you have always been, it's already yours. Go ahead, next. Verse, or is that it? No, one more verse. But we, listen to this, had to celebrate and rejoice. But we had to celebrate and rejoice. For this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live. I got to celebrate. He was dead. He's alive. How can you not celebrate that? And was lost and has been found. There's this ecstasy and this celebration that cannot be held back because of one who was once lost and has now found their way. But the religious son who's been in church all of his life couldn't understand why daddy would even kill a fatted calf and put up such a hoopla for someone who's been so disobedient for so long because he comes home and says, I'm sorry. And leaves the pig pen though. Folks, religion focuses more on a person's failure than it does on God's love, forgiveness, and restoration. And we'll say it again. Religion focuses more on a person's failure than it does on God's love, forgiveness, and restoration. How many churches have we ever been in where the people are just, When people go astray, when people make mistakes, when people sin. Yeah, even the pastors. We talked about that yesterday. We all sin, fall short of the glory of God. There's not a pastor in this world. There's not an apostle, a prophet, evangelist, or teacher that has not sinned. There's only one who has never sinned, and that's Jesus, and why he is now our Savior and can get us back to the Father, where the Father's ready to receive us at any time. Don't be religious. Don't harden your heart to people who are just doing what sinners do. That's a whole other story. That's not even this part of the story. He wasn't a sinner. And you'll find out that in a minute. He was a saint that was sinning at the time. And again, you'll see that in a moment. This parable, as I said, is more about a father's cry for restoration and intimacy than about a son's rebellion. Think about it. Is this not more about restoration and intimacy and extravagant love more than extravagant wayward living? If we want to focus on extravagant wayward living about the disobedience of our son, then, you know, we're looking negatively at this story. Let's look at all the things the son did wrong instead of everything that the father was doing to bring the son home. How do I know this about being a prodigal father? The word prodigal means one who spends or gives lavishly, recklessly extravagant. I love it. Recklessly extravagant. I'd say that that son was treated recklessly extravagant with a thing called love. And make sure you understand that it's unconditional love. There was nothing he had to do for the father to kill that fatted calf or put the ring on his finger or the shoes on his feet or the righteousness that he has for him. He didn't have to earn it. It was the father's gift. The son left with the gift, and he came back to the gift, as you'll see in a moment. That's our Heavenly Father's love for you. What I've just described is our Heavenly Father's love for you. Even though you may not be in the pig pen, and maybe you've not squandered, maybe you're that son that stayed home, and maybe you're on a little bit on the religious side, you know, understand that, you know, change. Don't be so religious that you can't receive the Father's love, and don't be so far away that you don't think you can earn the Father or get the Father's love back, because you never lose it. Neither one of them did. But in our own minds, the older son, he thought that the father didn't love him because he didn't kill the fatty calf for him. In his own mind, the kid in the pig pen thought that he had just squandered it and he could not get it back. And both sons never stopped being the father's sons. And the father's love for both sons never changed. Because God's love never changes. In this story, one son is a slave to sin, where pain and or boredom seeks pleasure in counterfeit affections. We don't want church. We don't want that religion stuff that they're preaching. We don't want anything to do with all those Christians that have these, you know, funky ways that they express their praise and worship and all that kind of stuff. We want the affections of the world. We want the things that make us feel good and go out and be able to do, that just lift us up and make us happy, whether it's drugs or alcohol or sex or movies and that are just, you know, what I'm talking about. I'm bored with, I got to go to church and I got to pray and I got to work and I got to do this for that and stuff like that, when I could be out there having a great time. That's what the prodigal son thought. Till if you read our newspapers and what's about to happen to us here in America, that's happened in other countries and everything like that, where all of a sudden the party's over. That's right. With God, the party never ends. But with the world, one day that party will be over for you. And you will age, if nothing else. And you will die like everyone else. And you will stand before God like every angel and every seraphim and cherub and every person has ever done. Can't get away from it. Whether you believe it or not, Doesn't really matter. It's truth. It's going to happen. The Word of God that stands alone has never been contradicted in any way, shape, or form. That's come to pass with all of its prophetic words so far. Has told us that. Boredom and pleasure, counterfeit affections. That's the one son. The other son's a slave to law. To law. L-A-W. Law, if I'm not pronouncing that right. He tried to find his identity in what? In works. Okay, I'm in the Father's house. I'm going to work, 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 work. I'm going to get on the praise team. I'm going to get on the food team. I'm going to get on the evangelism team. I'm going to get on the preaching team. I'm going to get on this team. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go and do this. I'm going to do that. I'm just going to work. I'm going to work, work, work. And you know what? Daddy's got to love me. You fool. He already loved you before you went out the first time. To try to prove yourself. Our goal, like Jesus, is to be a slave to love. Not a slave to law, but a slave to love. Not a slave to sin, but a slave to love. And what do we mean by being a slave to love? We cave to love. Love comes first. Jesus, when he was out, right, picking grain on the Sabbath, they were hungry. They had a need. Law says, don't pick it. Human need says, we have a need, Jesus. Law says, don't do it. Need says, we need it. Jesus, in this new covenant, chose meet the human need before the religious law. That'll preach. How about the prostitute that was at the feet of Jesus and they said, let's pick up stoner. Human need, shame, 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 all over her. Human need. The law says stoner. But what did Jesus do? He met the need. He picked her up. He told her and said, go and sin no more. Where are your accusers? Because he told them, he is without sin. You cast that first stone. So what did he do? He told, law must bow to the compassion and the need and the love of the Father. The law in the Old Testament was to point us to Christ. Its purpose was to show us how sinful we were, that we couldn't meet our needs through law or God's need through law. It was to show us how sinful, so that we could see how precious our Savior is. That the gift that he gives us is just that, a gift. Don't think that the law was there to make you any better than you are. God created you who you are to live as a slave to love, to be more like him. Law will never fix that if you start going this way, away. Love will draw you back. As Jesus is telling us this prodigal story, we know that the Father in this parable represents Father God. And that the younger son represents, listen, those who sin, not the lost. The son represents those who are sinning, not the lost. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, when the son was out in the pig pen, did he ever cease being his father's son? No. No. That ought to give some of you a little encouragement when you backslide. We're not talking about people who, you know, sit there and curse God and say, curse God and die and whatever and go and walk the other way. We're talking about, you know, falling into sin, backsliding, you know, having those ungodly moments and being out in the pig pen and you know, being saved and then going out and spending some dumb years. We've all gone through some of those dumb years. But we've never, ever ceased being sons of the Most High God. Neither was this son ever not a son in this story. He always remained a son, but he was sinning. So again, the answer is no to that. The answer is no, that he is not lost from the standpoint of losing the Father's love and place in his home. He was just out there living the wrong type of life. The son had, again, cut his heart off from the father. He was with the Father. He'd been grown up in the church, maybe. Maybe you're so used to church, it just becomes boring after a while. So you begin to start cutting your heart off. And he cut his heart off from his Father. But the Father never cut his heart off from his Son. He never ceased being Daddy. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we're faithless, what? He remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. God is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. He'll always be that, and he'll never stop being that all through eternity. We're the ones that get skewed in our heads and go all these different ways in life. We're the ones that get off track and think, well, you know, God's not, I don't see him, I don't feel him, I don't taste him, I don't touch him, he's not there. And God's going, you know, son, that's faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All creation testifies to my handiwork. This word of God that's been passed down to you testifies to who I am. You had the prophets, you got all the word of God, you've got creation. If you're not going to believe that, then you make your choice. You can sit at the devil's table and you can spend eternity with the weeping and gnashing of teeth in a place that is far from God. It's a choice. We make it. Hope you're listening to the right people in your life. This parable isn't so much of a son's rebellion as it is about a father longing for an intimate relationship, for the relationship to be restored. Folks, don't ever feel, listen to me now, this is important. Don't ever feel too unclean to become close to your daddy. Do not ever feel that you are so unclean that you cannot become close to your dad. Whether it's on the earth or whether it's in heaven. I can say that because I'm a father. And when my sons were in wacky years, and they know them, we cried ourselves to sleep praying for them. Because one day we knew, because of what we had sowed into them when they were young, that they would come home. And they came home. And boy, are we proud of them. Your heavenly Father feels the same way about you. The pig pen illustrates this truth to us. You may be sitting in the middle of a pig pen right now, but as soon as you wake up and understand and realize, wait a minute, I can go home. What a truth that is, and what a celebration that becomes. So is your relationship and intimacy with Father God where it needs to be right now? Are you satisfied where you are with your relationship with your heavenly Father? We're not talking about your earthly father right now or your whatever. That's easy. You can deal with that right there, you know, right? Doesn't take much. Maybe a little humility. And that's a lot. But is your relationship right with Father God right now? Are you willing to run home to him, or are you going to believe the devil's lie that you're too dirty to be received? I'm covered in mud. I'm covered in sin. I've made wrong choices. I've done too much. I just can't go home. God, Daddy's never going to receive me. And Father God is there. I want to tell you something. If that's the pig pen, he's like this. You just can't see him because the mud's covered your eyes. The devil's covered your eyes. But Daddy's going like this. Get up, son. Get up. Get up and hold me. I got a robe, I got sandals, I got a fatted calf. It's right here. Get up! But he doesn't say it like I just did. I love you, son. I hate seeing you so dirty. I hate seeing you squandering everything that you're going to inherit. You don't realize where you are. You have no clue. I love you so much. Get up. Get up. That's more like it. Because that's how God is. Well, in the Old Testament, God was, that was the Old Testament. You're not in the Old Testament. You're in a new covenant. God has promised. Therefore, he abides by his promise. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever shall believeth in him shall never die but have eternal life. That's my covenant to you. And all you have to do for the grace that I've given is receive it. Get up out of the pig pen. And come home. Live in Daddy's house. Oh, but living in daddy's house, what is faith? Faith without works is dead. You can't live in daddy's house and bring in the prostitutes. You can't live in daddy's house and bring in the drugs. Because daddy's going, go out in the pig pen, learn your lesson again, then come on back home. There's no, those kinds of things aren't in daddy's house. Daddy will never allow that in his own home. Because God is holy. And God will not be mocked. You can't straddle the fence. Well, I'm going to have God and church and relationships there, but I'm keeping my foot in the world because it's too good. It feels great until your foot gets arthritic. And then I got to see the chiropractor or the physical therapist and then the doctor. But ultimately, you're going to see the undertaker. Then where are you? Standing before the Father and going, Don't ever feel too dirty to be received. Daddy's ready for you anytime, anywhere, any place you are. Because he's never left you or forsaken you. See, God's omnipresent. His spirit, obviously, it's got to be by spirit, just like the air you breathe. The air you breathe is all over the world. God can be all over the world in spirit. But Jesus, when he was here on earth, it could only be in one place at one time, right? But we know by the spirit, God is everywhere at all times. And so, here he is, sitting in a pig pen, trying to decide if he's too dirty to come home. And he gets a light that goes off and goes, well, he reasoned, I'll just go be a slave. I can go home. Okay, this is how I can do it. I can't just go home and say, Dad, I want everything back, kill the fatted calf and do that. I'm going to humbly come home and say, please forgive me. And you know what? I know I'm not worthy to be your son. Just kill the fatted calf. And Dad's going, never. You never stop being my son. You were lost. Now you found. You've repented. You're ready to come home and be part of the family. Kill the fatted calf. And then the other son, because he's working for his salvation, he's just so jealous. Can you imagine the thief on the cross? When Jesus said to him, today you'll be with me with paradise, he was one of the worst, vilest sinners you can have. Because when you were crucified, you had to do some pretty heinous things to be crucified. And that thief recognized at the last minute, remember me, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom. That means he made him Lord. That means he knew he was God. Remember me, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom is pretty much saying, hey, you're God. You don't deserve what you're getting, but I deserve what I'm getting. And he said, truly today you'll be with me where? In paradise. He didn't spend 3 days and three nights down there in Hades and stuff like that. He went right to paradise and stuff. And later he went down and brought down, what, those who were in Abraham's bosom, those that were in the Old Testament saints he brought with him. And remember that they saw him walking around on the earth. They came out of the grave, some of them, before they went up. They made a pit stop before going to heaven just so that we could have it, so it would boost our most holy faith. Don't be like that religious son who's not extravagantly happy when a sinner comes home. Don't ever feel too dirty to come home. So let's talk about the son who left. He demanded, because next week we're going to talk about the son who stayed home. This little piggy went to the market, this little piggy, right? That's what it reminds me of when I say that. Today we're going to talk about the son who left just a little bit longer, and I'll let you out of here. And then tomorrow, yeah, you want to have church tomorrow? Next Sunday we'll talk about the one who stayed home. So he demanded his inheritance, we know that. Tired of living and working at home in the father's house. He wanted to experience the power of independence and freedom to choose his own destiny. As Christians, we tend to run around searching for a show of God's power, and we value that experience more than we do daily living in the love and intimacy that comes simply by abiding in his presence, like prayer, reading the word, worship, church, fellowship. We get tired of it. You know what? I'm not going to say who, but I'm not even going to go there. Not a lot of action at the altar. Yeah, they don't even have a praise team. I'm just bored with this coming to church on Sunday. We get a message and we clap a little and we sing. I want some miracles. I want to go to this conference and I want to go to that conference and I want to see that guy with that anointing and I want to see miracles occurring and stuff like that. And we begin chasing all of the splendor of miraculous. Tired of living and working in daddy's house. Got to go out there in the world and experience all that God, the show of God's power. We're always asking for God's power because we're discontent with just simply sitting on his lap and having a cup of coffee and telling him how much we love him and him telling us how much he loves us. That's really kind of a comparison in a way. It's taking me to a different level. Yeah, do we want the heavens opened and his glory to come down and us to see the bigger things and stuff? Everybody does. But if I get tired of being faithful to the things God's already put me in charge of right now, even if I never see it, like the song says, even if I never see God, I believe. Quit chasing God's power and just be content with abiding in his presence. If you abide in his presence long enough, you'll see his power. Don't chase experience when the experience is right there already with you. The son already had everything he could have before he went and squandered everything. Again, we fail to appreciate the love and the joy and the peace that comes from daily meeting with God and his word. And prayer. We take it for granted. Excuse me. So that's when we become vulnerable to drifting away. Okay? When we take things for granted, we become vulnerable to drifting away from his presence. Listen to me now. From his presence. Oh, we're still God's sons and daughters, but we don't experience the presence of God. We don't sense his abiding presence in us. We're not hearing from the Holy Spirit. We don't have that unction to do or to speak or to, you know, we just start to drift, and then maybe we're worried more about what the world's saying more than what God's saying. Right. It's a slow fade. It's a slow fade. No wonder 62% of Christian men struggle with sexual sin. 62% of men struggle with sexual sin. We discussed that at the men's meeting yesterday. 62%. A lot of times, it's because it's a slow fade. We get bored. We become alone. We're not looking into relationships building. We're not looking at spending time with other Christians, reading the word, in prayer. We become islands. And the devil loves to pick you off when you're not around other people who can lift you up. He'll pick you off. Worldly power, prestige, money, sex, addictions, preoccupation with television, computers, cell phones. I can go on and on, folks. Can all lead to a drifting away from God. Oh, those are benign. No, they're not. They accumulate. The devil knows he'll get in with a little finger more than his big finger. He'll get you so addicted to television or cell phones or computers that you have no time for God. Or should I say little time for God? When he should be number one. Folks, the world will never satisfy you and can never fill the void in your life that God designed to be filled by him and him alone. How do I know that? Read about the rich and famous. How many have committed suicide because of a love deficit? All the money in the world, all the pleasures of the world, and they're overdosing on drugs and shooting themselves. Because God designed that love deficit to be filled by him and him alone. And when you try to fill it with all the things in the world, it will never happen. And sometimes prematurely, people will end their lives because they just can't take it anymore. Or they lose the money that they had, and all of a sudden they think they lost everything. No, you've actually probably gained everything if you get on your knees and repent and come to your Father. Just read about that. Just all you got to do is read about it, and it'll witness to you. Folks, do not let the accuser, the devil, turn conviction, listen to me, conviction of sin that the Holy Spirit uses to bring us home into self-condemnation, which leads us to shame. You can sit in your seat right now going, oh, how terrible I've been, how shameful I've been. I can tell you right now, that's the devil. But if you're sitting in your seat going, yeah, that's me, oh my gosh, that's Holy Spirit, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, for reminding me I can come home to Daddy. And Daddy will not condemn me. He will receive me. And he will restore me if I'm genuine. If you take on shame, you have started the roller coaster, because it's going to lead to guilt, then fear, then hiding, and failure, just like Adam and Eve. Folks, who wants to live with fear of rejection? Because that's what happens. You feel that God's going to reject you, right? And then you translate that to people. If people aren't loving you like you think you need to be loved, you begin to stay a void of them and feel like you're rejected. See, whatever happened, it's a mirror image of what's going on in your life with people and God. If you grew up with parents who rejected you, you're going to think that God could never receive you. You gotta get help for that. You gotta get counseling. You gotta get the church to come around you and bring truth to set you free. It's the truth that sets you free. Fortunately, you're in a church here that we have that. And that's that For Your Health that Teresa talked about earlier. It'll clean you up like a fish that just came out of the water. Seriously. Because you're gonna come in stinky. You don't think you ever done this? I smell all right. How about what do you think? Oh my God. Nobody ever thinks they stink. And they don't have the courage to ask someone else. Because they're probably passed out in front of you. Yeah. But I'm seriously, folks, guilt, unworthiness, loneliness, isolation, anxiety, failure. These things come in when the devil gets a foothold and you don't believe God's truth about you and who you are. You don't have to. You don't have to deal with any of that. Just come home. Because when you come home, if you're not ready to get to heaven yet, then you come into the church. And if you got the right church, you've got things available for you to remove the shame and the guilt and the anxiety and the fear and those things that are hounding you. That's what the church should be doing. We don't just come in here and clap hands and sing and worship God and do that. We're doing that for God. Now God says, go and do likewise unto the brethren. So we have things in place so we can help you through that shame and fear and guilt and rejection and all that kind of stuff. Hence why we began this church, and hence why that program is available to you. And we have one-on-one. If you can't wait, I'm just too bad. I can't get there. I can't wait till July. Call us up. Remember what a loving Father you have. In the midst of the pig pen of your life, remember Daddy's unconditional love for you. John 3:17. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved. He didn't come to judge, but that the world might be saved, what? Through him. You know you're your own judge. God doesn't send you to hell. You send yourself to hell. When you don't receive God's invitation, you're sending yourself. He's not sending you. He's just simply offering life to you. If you reject that, it's not his fault. He says, here, take it. And you're going, I don't want it. He sent Jesus to save the world, not condemn it. He came to offer an alternative to your lifestyle. Folks, when we feel like a failure, we react the same way the prodigal son does. Make me like a hired hand. In other words, I need to do something for God. And we become very legalistic and very, very religious striving. I don't want to be close to him. I don't deserve to live in his embrace or house. So let me come as a slave and strive for his approval. And so many people are striving in church to receive God's approval that they've always had. Folks, this is a lie from the enemy when you believe that you got to work for God's love. God's not looking for servants. He's looking for sons and daughters who live the kind of lives that will bring joy to their father's heart. And yes, having a servant's heart brings joy to daddy. Nothing wrong with the works backing up your faith, but not because you're being legalistic to earn it. It's because you love him so much, you just want to serve dad in the house. He's asked you to do something. It's my privilege to do it for you, Daddy, because you've showered so much love on me. You've given me so much. Life everlasting. How do I beat that? Servants' hearts come from a love relationship, or should. But more than anything, Daddy is longing for intimacy with you. Back to the parable. Question, when did the father forgive the son? Answer, before he ever left. Or he never would have given him the inheritance. When did he forgive the son? Before he even left. Or he never would have given him his inheritance. He would have rebuked him. See, he knew he was backsliding. He was waiting that one day he would come back. And that's the advantage that a sovereign God has. He's outside of time. God knows. You don't, but he does. Folks, we all have feelings of failure at times in our prayer life, our Bible time, our thought life, our whole Christian life. But God loves us just the same. Why? Because his love is unconditional and it's never based on the merit of the one receiving it. Do you hear me? God's love, listen, this is important. God loves us just the same because his love is unconditional. So whether you're in the pig pen or you're not, his love is unconditional and is never based on the merit of the one that is receiving it. It's grace. It's free. It's given. You don't earn it. There's nothing more you can do or nothing less that you can do. But you got to receive it. It's like any gift. Anybody that's offering you a free gift, a free car, free house, $1 million in your bank account, here it is. It doesn't get there on its own. You got to receive it and either put it in the bank or drive it or fish with it. For any of you that want to give a boat. It just has to be received. It's based on God's nature. The love that you receive is based on God's character and nature. And God's character and nature is God is love. So if it is who you are, I am that I am, I'm love, and I'm offering you myself, Jesus, that's how you get it. Not because you've read your Bible 5 times a week or gone to church 3 days a week or you've done this or done that or you've been working for 40 years in the church office. Give me a break. We put so much on people. People put so much on themselves. He covers us with his robe of righteousness and then never looks under there. Remember that analogy I gave you? That's us. He covers us with his robe of righteousness. Unfortunately, people look under there. The son that stayed home, he looked under the robe that the father put on the son. The righteousness, the celebration, rejoicing because he came home, that's the father toward us. But people, the son that stayed home, he looked underneath that robe and said, "Hey, that's the pig pen guy. My brother, the pig pen, remember him?" And God goes, "No. As far as the east is from the west, his sin is, I don't remember that. All I see is my robe. That's why I cover him with it. I'm covering you with my righteousness." That means he doesn't see what's underneath there anymore. Aren't you glad that God doesn't see underneath that? I am. It's the only reason I can stand here at this pulpit. If I gave you my past, you'd say, "You're out." If you looked underneath my robe, get a new pastor. Talk about a pig pen. And all of you can probably say the same thing at some point. And maybe some of you can't. But then be careful that you don't step into that other son role, which we'll talk about next week, where you judge others who happened to jump into the mud. Maybe you didn't jump in the mud, but they did. Almost there. Folks, home is always there for us. Home is always there for you. God restores us to full inheritance when we choose, listen now, because, you know, I don't want you to come away from this thinking, "Oh, I can go and I have a license to sin. I can do anything I want. And Daddy will still always take me home. I can stay out here sinning." No, Daddy never took him home while he was still out there doing all that junk. He was still his father's son, but he was out there filthy, right? So listen now. God restores us to full inheritance when we choose to repent. Just like the wayward son in the parable. Folks, forgive everyone, especially your earthly father. You need to forgive everyone because God commands us to. Especially your earthly father because he's the closest thing to your heavenly father. Turn to God and head home to abide with Daddy. His love for us is the greatest motivation we have to repent. Don't let fear and intimidation bring you to that point. Fear and intimidation wasn't the motive, or should I say, was the motive when he was like, I'm a wreck. But then all of a sudden he remembered the Father. He remembered his Father's love, and he said, he'll hire me. So he had both things going on, a little bit of fear, a little intimidation, but ultimately the love had to have reached his heart, or he never would have went home. 1 John 3:1-3. See how great a love the Father's bestowed on you, us, that we would be called children of God? In other words, how could he possibly do that? We're in the pig pen. And such we are. Bottom line is, it doesn't matter. You are. For this reason, the world doesn't know us because it did not know him. The world doesn't realize that the Father's waiting for them to come home. We got to help with that effort, right, evangelists? And we're all evangelists. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him does what? Purifies himself just as he's pure. In other words, I can't stay in the pig pen once I realize the Father's love for me. I've got to wash. I got to get cleansed. I got to start living the Christian life because I'm no longer a wayward son. I'm a homeward bound son. I'm bound for heaven. And on that journey, I'm going to stay washed and up and cleaned up. Every once in a while, I slip in a mud puddle. I'm sure you do too. You sin and you have to repent. Praise God for Jesus. He said 70 times 7. We're forgiven. Hallelujah for that, right? Max Lucado said this. Because of God's justice, listen to that now. This is a quote. Because of God's justice, he cannot dismiss your sin. But because of God's love, he will not dismiss you. So he punished himself on the cross at Calvary. Wow, that's good. I'm going to say it again. Because of God's justice, there has to be a payment for sin. The wages of sin is, it's got to be paid for. If you're sinning, there has to be a death. That's why in the Old Testament they killed all those animals. But that stopped once Jesus came on, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, right? Because of God's justice, God's just. He cannot violate his own word. When you're sinning, you're earning what you've done. You're getting the consequence for your behavior. He's not going to be like one of those parents when the kid's acting up in the store and they're being a brat and they're being obnoxious and they're making everybody miserable in the store and the parent goes, oh, Johnny, it's okay, and gives them the little candy that they've been screaming and doing a tantrum for. He wouldn't do that. He'd say, don't spare the rod. Whap, whap, whap. Now he's conformed to the image of who I am. And now he's pleasant to you because he's standing there humbled. God, I hope every parent learns that lesson and doesn't get intimidated by the world who says you can't even spank your child. No, 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 no. You grow up with an obnoxious, spoiled brat. I know because in my family we had one of those, but praise God, he turned out okay. God made up for all that. God makes up for all the mistakes we make as parents too, doesn't he? He can because he's God. Because of God's justice, he cannot dismiss your sin. But because of God's love, he will not dismiss you. So he punished himself on the cross of Calvary. He took what you did wrong and he covered it with the blood of Jesus. So that when you sin, you have a Savior to go to that covers your sin and looks at the Father and says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Daddy's love receives that. Wow. So the bottom line for today is this. Will you risk opening your heart to your Heavenly Father? Daddy's arms are always reaching out to you to welcome you home. Run to him right now with your love and repentance, no matter where you may be currently. It doesn't matter. Even if it's a pig pen and your life is a mess. Last scripture, Luke 15:20. So he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and he felt compassion for him and he ran and embraced him and kissed him. That is so, so comforting. God is ready to embrace you. Meet him here at the altar, or you can meet him in your closet at home. He is everywhere and anywhere that you decide to come to him. And it doesn't have to be in front of people at a church. It can be in your closet at home. Just mean it with all of your heart, because his arms are open wide.